But if our mindset is right, if our mind, meaning our minds are renewed to the Word of God, we take those Jerichos, we take those obstacles, and we turn them into opportunities in our life to trust the promises of God. Amen? I mean, what do we have to lose?
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Good day, everyone, and welcome to Love Never Fails. Pastor Bill's series, Jesus is Better, from the Epistle of Hebrews, continues today. What a variety of personalities we've studied. The faith can operate in anyone's life who will dare to believe God's word and surrender to his will. By faith, they overcame, and today, we'll see just a few of the difficulties these men of faith endured. Now, Pastor, with today's message, by faith.
Amen. Are you in Hebrews 11? Okay, we're going to be there, and we're going to be going back and forth this morning. So we're going to be also in Joshua chapter 6, then we're going to go to Joshua chapter 2. Then we're going to go to the book of Judges, and we'll be in chapter 16 of the book of Judges, okay? So what a great study Hebrews has been. You know, now that we're nearing the end of it, even though we just have a couple of more chapters, I always grow sad when we're getting to the end of a book that we're studying. And, you know, remember that this letter was written to the Jewish believers before the temple was destroyed in AD 70 by Titus, and they had become followers of Christ Jesus. And it was written, it says in Hebrews 13:22, as a letter of exhortation to encourage them to keep running the race and not fall behind. We know from Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12, that the Jewish believers, they ought to be teachers by now, but they weren't. They were regressing instead of progressing in the things of God. And Paul, who I believe penned Hebrews, even calls them, you're still babes. You're not ready for solid food and so forth. So not only was this letter written for that generation, but it was also written for us as well. We've already learned that in Hebrews 10:38, we've learned that God calls in his word, he says, the just shall live by faith. And he says, and those who draw back, meaning to draw back from faith, draw back from trusting the living God who cannot lie, he says, my soul doesn't have any pleasure in them. So we know that God's not pleased unless we walk in faith. Romans 14:23 says, whatsoever that's not of faith is sin. And so we know as we began this great letter, if you will, all the way back in chapter 1, in verse 1 and 2, you know, God the Father, you know, who has spoken various ways and various times and so forth, he closes and he says this, in the last days, are we in the last days? He says, he has spoken to us by his Son. Whenever they're upon the Mount of Transfiguration, the voice came from heaven to the three that were with the Lord and said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And then he said, hear ye him. Boy, we need to hear the Lord. Can I give you just one thing the Lord said? The Lord Jesus said this in Matthew 4:4. He says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Amen? So this morning as we talk about faith, by faith, living by faith, we know that true Bible faith is confident obedience to God's living word, the God who cannot lie, no matter the consequences or the circumstances that we face in this life. And I'm going to tell you something about life, Christian. Listen carefully now. I can look at it and see it. Boy, you guys are young, and I know you look up here and you say, he is old. And that's okay, I am. But you know what? I wasn't always old. But the thing is, life happens so quick. I mean, you're 18, and the next day you're 80. Do you understand? And so, you know, in between that, we're going to live. Here's the deal. As a believer, we're either going to live by faith or unbelief. We're either going to trust what you can see, trust the seen, money, whatever. We're going to trust the seen, or we're going to trust the unseen. We're either going to walk in this life by faith, believing God, or we're not going to walk that way at all. And boy, that is a tragedy in all of it, is to walk in the natural and miss the experience of the supernatural is a terrible thing. because God is a supernatural God who works in supernatural ways. Amen? So the only way to live in this life, Christian, and you know it, I know it, is because life is going to throw things at you all of your life, from A to B, birth to death, and in all the valleys and the ups and downs and the victories and all the things that happen. The only way we can live this life in victory is to do so by faith. Now, before we enter into chapter 11, verse 30, let me set this up for you. Between verse 29 and 30, although it's not spoken about, we know that there was a period of time, and that period of time was 40 years, okay? So it's not telling us, but we know that there was 40 years of wasted living by the first generation, the Exodus generation, in the wilderness, amen? And we know that it says in 3:19 of Hebrews, it tells us that they could not enter into the promises of God, which was the land of Canaan. They couldn't do it, and the reason they couldn't do it was because of unbelief. In Hebrews 4:2, it tells us that they heard the word of God, but it didn't profit them because they did not mix the word of God with faith. In other words, they heard the word of God, but they didn't act upon the word of God. Amen? So with all that being said this morning, look at verse 30 with me. It says, "By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled 7 days. We know this story very well, but we're going to re-study it this morning as well. Now, Joshua 6 tells us, and that's where we're going to go in just a second, Joshua 6, verse 1. I don't know why I've got so much I want to say, and I come out stuttering. Because, my mind, my wife used to tell me, your mind is way ahead of your speaking. But nevertheless, this was the first victory in the land of Canaan, as Joshua led the second generation in. Remember what he did. He crossed the Jordan. And as he did, he came in right there a few miles up the road. He's the city of Jericho. Now listen carefully. If you study out archaeology, the evidence of archaeology concerning Jericho, it's incredible. It was massive, man. I mean, first of all, it was either around 8 or 9 acres, this city. But it was a massive, massive fortress. Walls, the outside walls, some of them over 30 feet high, okay? And so the moment you crossed the Jordan, there you saw the massive fortress of Jericho. Why? Because they don't want you advancing on their territory. They are armed. They are ready. They don't want anyone coming into their land. And so they would stop any advance. Matter of fact, I'll tell you how strong Jericho, the city, was. If the Roman army that we know about and studied about existed in the day of Joshua, which it didn't, but if it had of, it would almost be impossible for the Roman army to siege and win Jericho. Isn't that amazing? So that's the kind of settlement that we're looking at. And so I want to set this up now. Remember, something happened on the other side of the Jordan if we studied out the book of Joshua. Remember what Joshua did, the Lord told Joshua to do before they crossed over the Jordan. They did something that they had not done in over 40 years. They celebrated the third Passover, meaning the blood of the Lamb. Amen? Passover, you got it? Are y'all with me? So they could not enter the land of Canaan without the shedding of blood. You could look at it that way. But something else happened the moment that they celebrated the Passover feast. Guess what happened that day? The manna from heaven ceased on that day. Can you believe for over 40 years that miracle occurred? Manna. Amen? That's a long miracle, loved one. And then that day, the manna ceased, and they started eating the produce of the land for the first time in over 40 years. Now, they're getting ready to go into battle. So it's a new day for Israel. It's also a new diet for Israel, and they're getting ready to move in. So let's look at God's battle plan that we already know very well, but let's restudy it in Joshua chapter 6, verse 1. Now, Jericho was securely shut up. Because of the children of Israel, none went out, none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I've given you Jericho into your hand." What a promise that is. It's already done. I have, past tense. "I've given unto you Jericho into your hand. I've given the king and the mighty men of valor. And here's what you're going to do. You shall march around the city, all you men of war. You shall go around the city once. This you shall do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear 7 trumpets of ram's horn before the ark. Everyone say the ark. The ark, very important word. But the 7th day you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets, and it shall come to pass when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that all the people shall shout. Now, not just a regular shout, but a great shout. Then the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people shall go up, every man straight before him. Now listen, you know that story. I got that story. Do you think just for 1 second, if we could just think, just have Joshua's mindset just for a second, was he a man, a great man of God? Yes, he was. But do you think that he went, got it, Lord, thank you. That's what we would do, right? No, I mean, really, when you think about this incredible miracle that's going to take place, okay, you want me to march around each day. We're going to march around that thing. You want me to march around it for 6 days, right? As a matter of fact, if you looked over to verse 10, you know what Joshua did? He commanded the people, and don't you say one word. Everybody keep their mouth shut. Then on the 7th day, march around it 7 times. 7 priests, 7 trumpets, ram's horn, in other words. People are going to shout. Not any kind of shout. It's going to be a great, great shout. And then it says, then, and we can really add to Scripture legally, then and only then will the walls fall down. Loved one, did that take faith to believe that? Yes. Oh, come on. We know the story, see? We've read it so many times. This is like a Sunday school study right now, okay? Yeah, Joshua, he obeyed. They all obeyed. But I'm going to say something. Listen carefully. When we trust God, when we believe God, and we act on His Word, do you ever do that when it doesn't make sense? You're looking at the greatest fortress. Listen, they had never seen anything like that before. Maybe, in Egypt, they saw the palaces and all the things that they did. But this was a massive fort of the Canaanites. They had never seen such a fortress. And you're telling me that that fortress is going to fall when we shout and do what you've said to do. Does that take great faith? Absolutely. Listen, remember the sermon I preached a year ago, or maybe it might have been a month ago. I don't remember. You know, trusting God when it doesn't make sense. Boy, I'll tell you, that's exactly, because I look at that and I say, that doesn't make much sense to me. Question, had any city ever in the history of mankind, even to this day, been conquered like that? No. When's the last time you saw the walls fall down around a city like that? Huh? No, listen, this is not how cities are conquered unless God speaks to you and you believe the God that cannot lie, and then you do it by faith. And for 1 full week, 7 days, they did that. And they marched around that city without one word. They did it faithfully. And listen, I want you to study Joshua 6 later. You will find this. There was not one word of unbelief or doubt that came out of anyone's mouth in Joshua chapter 6. So, question. How in the world did the walls of Jericho fall down? 2 words. How? We've just read it 3 times. How? By faith. By faith. And man, listen, I want you to do something. I want you to study Joshua later on today if you have time. And here's what you're going to find. You're going to find that the Ark of the Lord represents the presence of the living God. Amen? Okay. The Ark of the Lord is mentioned 9 times in Joshua chapter 6. And you say, well, Bill, why is that important? What does that mean? It means this, that the children of Israel and Joshua, all of them, they could have marched around that city 150 times. They could have had a whole orchestra of trumpets playing. But if God was not with them, the presence of the living God was not there with them, they would not have done one thing. The walls would have never fallen down. Do you understand? You have to have God. You have to have God's the one who did it. It's the presence of God. Was it their power or God's power? God's power, loved one. Man, I say, oh, Lord. Man, see, without God's presence, there is no victory. And when we, by faith, when you believe God's word, when you act upon God's word, you know what you do? You not only have His presence, you invite His presence. Because God backs up His word. Amen? Remember in Mark's gospel, the 16th chapter, the 20th verse, after the resurrection of Lord, and what did Jesus tell the disciples? He says, go into all the world and so forth. And it says, and they went out preaching everywhere, comma, the Lord working with them. See, God is always, when you do what he says, that's when the power comes. That's when his presence is really manifested. Listen, we are, all of us, no matter how long you've been a Christian, we're all running the race of faith, loved one. And here's what I found out, is that in life, as we follow the Lord, are we going to run into obstacles? Do we have our Jerichos? Of course we do. So what are we going to do? Well, we can either treat our problems and our fears and our mountains either larger than God or not. You see, what we need to do is have the right kind of mindset. And what I mean by that is, I know how hard it is when you feel the pain, when the worry is there, when you feel the emotion of all those things in your life. But if our mindset is right, if our mind, meaning our minds are renewed to the Word of God, we take those Jerichos, we take those obstacles, and we turn them into opportunities in our life to trust the promises of God. Amen? I mean, what do we have to lose? We have absolutely nothing to lose and absolutely everything to gain. There is not a Jericho in our life that is bigger than God. Amen? The Bible says in Ephesians 3:20 that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us. Amen? And so we don't need to treat him that way, but there's only one way. Whatever your Jericho, you may have a Jericho this morning. There's only one way to tear it down. It's Hebrews 10:38. The just shall live by faith. That's it. Now listen, before Joshua went into the land to take Jericho, let me tell you what God said to him in Joshua 1:9. God spoke to him and said to Joshua, "Have I not commanded you, be strong and be of good courage? Do not be afraid," which means he was afraid. "Don't be dismayed," that means he was falling apart a little bit. He says, and here's the reason why. "For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Wherever you go. Look there in Joshua with me. Look at chapter 5. Look at, watch this now. What did I say? Chapter 5, verse 13 is where I need to read at. Watch this. "And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho, he lifted up his eyes and he looked, and behold, a man stood opposite him." You see the man there is capitalized M, okay? "And stood with his sword drawn and his hand," another capital, "and Joshua went to him and said, 'Are you for us or for our adversaries?' So he said, 'No, but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have come.'" That's a theophany. That's the Lord Jesus Christ incarnate, okay? He says right here, in other words, him showing up. And it says, "And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshiped and said to him, 'Oh, what does my Lord say to his servant?' And when the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua," he says, "'Take the sandal off your foot, for the place where you stand is holy.' And Joshua did so." Listen, what was he saying? He was saying, "I am already here. I am the commander of the army of the Lord of hosts. I am the one that's going to do all the fighting." Amen? So when we look at that, we have to say this. Wow, you mean the Lord is always with us as he was with Joshua? Yeah. Matthew 28:20, what did Jesus say? The resurrected Savior. "Lo, I am with you sometimes." Amen. "I am with you always, even until the end of the age." Whenever Paul the Apostle, after he had been stoned and beaten and left for dead and cast in the prison, and all the, Acts 16, for example, all the whippings he took on his back in the dungeon, all the things that he went through. When we get to Acts chapter 18, we find Paul in Corinth, and the Lord Jesus appears to him in a vision because Paul doesn't want to preach. The greatest apostle that ever lived doesn't want to preach. He goes, Paul, the Lord speaks to him. He says, "Listen, don't be afraid, Paul." Paul was afraid. Listen, if you get beat up so many times, aren't you kind of sick of it? You know, I mean, you can only heal the lictor's lash from your back, the flesh being ripped out just a few times. Love him, listen. Jesus said, "Don't be afraid, Paul." He says, "For I am with you. I'm with you." He says, "I have many people in this city." So what happened? Paul stayed there a year and 6 months, and not one person laid a hand upon Paul. Why? The Lord was with him, and the Lord is with us right now. Listen, the devil is defeated. He can't touch you. He is a liar. Do you understand? That's all he can do. He lies to you. He lies to your mind. The devil is defeated. The world that we live in that is so pompous and so glorious to the world, this world is already defeated and is going to pass away. Amen? But he who does the will of God abides for ever. The world is defeated, the devil is defeated, but you're not defeated. You know why? Our God reigns, and He is with us wherever we go. Every moment, every second, He got up with you this morning, He drug you to church. He's going to drag you. No, you'll race to lunch. No, he's with us, loved one. Listen, every believer, if you're a Christian, you fight right now from a point of victory, not defeat. You are in Christ who's already overcome the world. And it doesn't mean this little globe that we live in. It means everything that the world can throw at you, you can overcome it because you're in the one who has already done it for you. Amen? But that's faith. Everything is by faith. But if you don't walk in faith, well, then there's going to be a problem. Now, it says in the next verse of chapter 11 of Hebrews, verse 31, it says, by faith, the harlot Rahab. Now, you know, I was reading a liberal commentary. I'm not beating anybody up, but I was reading it. And they didn't like the word harlot. So they changed it to, she wasn't a harlot, she was just a landlady. No, she's not. Okay, so by faith, the harlot, I love this, Rahab, did not perish with those who did not believe. In other words, the people of Jericho, they didn't believe, even though they knew the children of Israel were coming, they didn't believe that even though God gave them the land, they said, that is not their land, it is my land. So they didn't believe. But when she received the spies with peace, so she gave them a friendly welcome. Now listen carefully. If you study Hebrews 11, there's actually only two women in it that are personally named. The first one is Sarah, the wife of Abraham, and Rahab, the harlot, loved one. Do you know that Rahab in our story is the only name that we even know in Jericho? There's not any other names given, just her name, and we know how she made her living. She made her living by selling her body. Now, history, for example, says how beautiful she was. Let me give you the Jewish Midrash. It says here, they said that Rahab is named as one of the four most beautiful women in the world that's ever been known. The first one was Sarah, Abigail, Esther, and then Rahab. The Babylonian Talmud says this, anyone who mentions her name, Rahab, immediately lusts after her. You know what I love about our story? Is the incredible, unbelievable riches of God's grace. He has a prostitute in the hall of fame of faith, loved one. Why? I don't care what we've done. I don't care what kind of life we've lived. But when we honor God and believe in Christ Jesus, I'm telling you what, everything changes. Amen? And God says, I can use that person. I can honor that person. So what an incredible story we have. Now, Joshua chapter 2, verse 1. Let me read it to you. Joshua 2, 1. I hope you have your Bible. Hope you turn there. Now, Joshua, the son of Nun, went out from Acacia Grove. Now, that's where the place Israel was camping. And the reason they went out, watch this now, was to spy secretly, saying, he says, now go view the land, especially Jericho. And so they went and they came to the house of a harlot named Rahab. And it was told that the king of Jericho, saying, behold, men have come here tonight from the children of Israel to search out the country. So the king of Jericho sent to Rahab, saying, bring out the men who have come to you, who have entered your house, for they have come to search out all of the country. Then the woman took the two men, the two spies, and hid them. And she said, yes, the men came to me, but I didn't know where they were from. And it happened as the gate was being shut, when it was dark, well, the men went out. Where the men went, I don't know. Pursue them quickly, for you may overtake them. But she had brought them up to the roof, hidden them with the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order on the roof. And then the men pursued them by the road to the Jordan, to the fords. And as soon as they pursued them and had gone out, they shut the gate. Now, before they lay down, Rahab came up to them on the roof. Here comes our story.
As you go about your day, be encouraged by the study today. God doesn't promise to heal or deliver everyone who trusts in Him, but He will reward all His children who live by faith. Pastor Bill will conclude this message on tomorrow's program, and we trust you'll tune in once again. Thank you for listening today, and so long for now. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.